Sankirtan meeting. Sankirtan means to propagate the holy name of Krishna. What's your good name?
Sudarshan.
Very nice. You're here often or come regularly? Okay, so you're familiar with what's going on. You're a regular. Okay, very good. Thank you. So, today we have different parts in our meeting. The first part is how to start a Hare Krishna temple. Srila Prabhupada started this International Society for Krishna Consciousness all by himself. It was not a business venture. There was no business plan, no model as such. He simply started on the instruction of his spiritual master, who he met first time in Calcutta, and he received the instruction on his first meeting that you're an intelligent young man, you should preach this Krishna consciousness movement in English-speaking language. Spread the message of Mahaprabhu all over the world. At the first time, when he paid his obeisances, he got the instruction, before even getting up from Dhanava, he got his lifetime mission. And Prabhupada went and he did it because he was very focused. He had great faith in the instruction of his spiritual master. He said, I've never cheated you, I've never added or subtracted anything. I've just given you the message of my Guru Maharaj as it is. That was his only concern, because he was confident that the process is potent, that he did not have to change it in any way. Now, We always have to distinguish between substance and form. The substance is what really matters. The form may change. Just like we're presenting Krishna consciousness in a slightly different style here in Denmark than you would be used to it in India. Because it's a different cultural environment. People are used to different types of interaction than in India. So, that is permissible, that is understandable, and that is even desirable. As we can see in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narada Muni was presenting Krishna consciousness according to his different audiences, he took a different approach, he took a different strategy to give them the message of Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada had to do the same thing, and we have to do the same thing, following in his footsteps. So, if you want to open a temple, you have to understand what is our tradition. Our tradition is that we have to understand what is the mission. So that's the first thing, to understand what is it exactly that we are trying to do here. We're not trying to just create a circle of friends, or a new club, or an institution, or an environment of a few people who get together and they do their own little cultural gathering, their own little club. You have countless of these clubs and environments in every city, town, and village of this world where people get together and they do whatever it is that they do. And they have a president and a secretary and a treasurer and a few other people who are involved in this Verein. What do you call it here?
Verein.
Verein, yeah. And so it's, you know, it gives them a sense of identity. We call it occupational therapy. You've heard of the expression, occupational therapy. Meaning you give people something seemingly worthwhile to do so that they are busy. It keeps their mind preoccupied. It keeps them from going crazy. And they get some sense of belonging, some sense of self-worth. I'm somebody and I'm doing something important. But in devotional service, it's different. Whether we're cutting potatoes, or cleaning floors, or cooking, or managing, or preaching, we're doing it to please Krishna, not to just feel great, to feel good about ourselves. But we're doing it to please Krishna. So the first thing, when you want to do a project, is that you understand that Krishna is the person, the personality who I'm trying to satisfy. It's not about how much admiration, how much respect, and how much glory I get from this. Like, how much glory is there in peeling potatoes and cutting them into slices and cubes? There is not that much glory. Not that at the Sunday feast people will come up to you and say, "Hey, are you the one who peeled those potatoes? Man, that's really something, you know? I could really feel your love, you know, in those potatoes." No, it's probably not going to happen. But you know that Krishna can recognize. He knows the way you're doing it. Why? Because Krishna is omniscient. He's all-knowing. So devotional service is not a mechanical activity that we're just doing things because they need to be done. So, Srila Prabhupada sent his early disciples and followers, sometimes not even initiates, he sent them out to open temples because he wanted to expand this mission of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. And he mainly sent Grihastha, household couples, to open temples. The first ones to open temples who went to San Francisco, it was Shyamasundar and Malati, then Mukunda, and others. They went to England. Need to speak into the mic so you can hear it. Okay. So, this movement has been started mainly by household couples who went all over the world. Purijan Prabhu, he went to Hong Kong, different parts of Asia, Tokyo, and that's how the movement expanded. And then later on, sannyasis propounded the preaching in a big way. So there is no external status or qualification required. You don't have to get your MBA before you can open a temple in Krishna consciousness. The main thing that's required is that you have some taste. Because preaching, as Srila Prabhupada said, preaching means to create taste. How can you create taste in others? Well, you have to have taste yourself. Just like, who is a good cook? Never trust a skinny cook. A good cook is somebody who likes to eat. Huh? He can be a good cook, because he knows the art of cooking. So who is a good preacher? Somebody who has a taste for the philosophy. If you have a taste for reading Prabhupada's books and for speaking the philosophy, then you can be a good preacher. So what does a preacher need to know, or a devotee, to expand Krishna consciousness? Well, you need to know three things. You need to know how to cook, how to lead kirtan, and how to give a Bhagavad Gita class. If you know these three things, you can open a temple. And in your case, from your occupation, from your background, you're already perfectly suited to run a temple. Because a lot of times preaching is not so much what you say, but it is more, I could say, what you not say, or it's more about asking the right kind of questions and making people feel appreciated, making people feel valued, making people feel that they're part of this team, that they can do it, that you have faith in them. You see, this Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world in 10 short years. Prabhupada opened more than 100 centers. They asked him, how could you do it? This is unheard of. Have you ever heard of a person who started with 40 rupees and created like a movement that's worth hundreds and hundreds of crores? No. It's practically unheard of. You know, usually all the big people in industry, they either inherited or they somehow made it big. Probably within 10 years, he opened more than 100 temples, ashrams, schools and farms. How did he do it? He was asked. And he said, it was because I was always introspective. He was always introspecting and seeing what could be improved. He was never satisfied. He never said, okay, now let's sit back and enjoy life. We've done well for ourselves. Now let us just rest on our laurels. You know this expression? Laurels. When you would do well and exceed, you would get a wreath. It's called a wreath. W-R-E-A-T-H. Of laurels. Like, they had these different plants that they would weave and wear them, like they have garlands. So in the Roman times, they had these wreaths that they would wear on their heads. It's like little crowns. So, but there's a saying that you should never rest on your laurels or on this, you know, because first of all, it gets spoiled. And second of all, you will not really get anywhere in your life if you start to become comfortable. So Prabhupada, to keep everybody on their toes, he said, double it. Double it means twice as much. If I tell you, okay, you're comfortable cutting potatoes, okay, now you have to cut twice as many potatoes. That puts you on your toes. You have to actually kick it into another gear, you know, you have to take it to a whole other level, like that. So, what is the mission? The mission is to propagate the movement of Mahaprabhu and make it accessible in every town and village, starting with the capital cities of the country that we're in. It's our Prabhudatta Desh. That's the place where we have been designated to preach. So, to make an impact, to make it visible. Right now I was in Western Africa and I had to tell the devotees in those countries that you have done a very good job of being undercover, of keeping it under the radar, by doing all the things that you should do to keep it undercover. What should you do? Don't print flyers or invitation cards, because it's a very bad thing. Because if you do that, people will find you and they will come to your place and they will bother you. So by any means, don't print anything. Don't have websites or any kind of presence where people could notice that you actually exist. Don't make any waves. Just live in a little room or flat or house and do your little ritual, your little thing amongst your people. No, Prabhupada said, take it to the streets. Go on the streets and chant and dance and spread the Sankirtan movement. And distribute prasadam, because prasadam is the secret weapon. Everybody loves prasadam. Even people who will not agree with your philosophy, they will accept prasadam. Like I saw yesterday, there were people who were doubtful about what we were doing out there, but they were convinced about Prabhupada. This is me, yes. And that's the first stage in Krishna conscious life. You know, your prasadam realized. Because this is unaware. Like a baby. He doesn't have any sense of existence, any sense of perception, but he knows I eat, and that means I exist. So we give people prasadam. Then comes pranamaya. Okay, I'm alive. Alright, okay, I'm alive. I'm here. Alright, I like these people. Oh, there's some nice music. There's some nice people doing different things. There's philosophy. So we have to be visible. And that means, in a way, that people can appreciate us. So, before going out on the street, we should look into the mirror and ask ourselves, would I like to meet this person? Would I trust this person? Would I like to take some book or some food or have some interaction with this person? If not, why not? What can I do to improve my appearance, my presentation? So, that's required. I was just now in, last winter I was in South India, so I went through a town called Udupi, which is in Karnataka, on the west coast of India. It's the seat of Madhavacharya. And it's a very beautiful temple, Krishna temple. And I was distributing books around that temple. And I met one pandit, a scholar, who just came from giving class with two or three of his students. And he carried many big books under his arm. So, I met him in front of the temple and I stopped him. And I talked to him and I gave him one of Prabhupada's books. It was a small book. So it was kind of funny because I gave him a small book and he was carrying these big books. And he had Tilak and Kunti Mala and Ekbis and Sika and Brahman Thread and Dodi and Chadra and the whole thing. So his students got a little upset. Who are you? What are you trying to teach to our teacher here, to our Guruji? And the Guruji looked at me and he said, what is your qualification? Now in India, usually that means what's your academic background or where did your father go to school, like that. So, and I thought, and I paused for a moment, and I thought, yes, what is my qualification? Actually, I have no qualification. But I thought he will not appreciate that, if I tell him that. He will not be convinced. So, but we have to realize, actually speaking, we don't have any qualification from a material standpoint, because to preach Krishna consciousness, there is no material qualification that is a requirement or a prerequisite. So I told him, Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor Dasa Dasa Dasa. I'm simply trying to be the servant of 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 the gopis who are serving Srimati Radharani, who are serving Krishna. Now, because he was a scholar and he was a Vaishnava, he smiled and he said, very nice, I accept that. So he took out a donation and he gave me money. Very much to the surprise of his students, who thought, how is this possible? So, materially speaking, we don't have any merit, any qualification to argue or to discuss philosophy with persons who are of a different class. But because we have accepted the instructions of the Guru Parampara, the devotees are making inroads, they're making their presence being felt from the academic to the devotional to the social to all kinds of gatherings and circles. So people want to see that you're authentic. There's a lot of people who are just doing something because they need a job or they need some money or they need something to do in life. But if people can see that you're actually liking what you're doing, you know why you're doing what you're doing, and it's not only pleasing to yourself, but it's pleasing to others as well, people will be able to appreciate it. people will be able to recognize that. So, in order to preach Krishna consciousness, to expound this movement, we have to first understand that there is a need. Without a need, there is no point of having a product. Just like people do get hungry, it happens, right? Even here in Denmark. So there's a need for us to cook prasadam. Also Krishna, he gets hungry. Even though Krishna is the Supreme Personality Godhead, is the origin, the source of all creation, but because he is hungry for the love of his devotees, Krishna allows himself to be fed. He allows himself to be served wonderful foodstuffs by his loving devotees. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. So to preach means to create taste. And to create taste means you have to have taste. So we have to work on ourselves to develop this taste. Because sometimes, coming from the material world, our taste patterns may be slightly warped. We may be slightly confused about what is proper cuisine, or what is proper music, or interaction, or philosophy. So we come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement to learn these things. So this is an educational institution. We come here to learn. That's why it is very wonderful to see that devotees are learning so many different practical skills, life skills, that are very useful. If you live life in a Hare Krishna temple for just a couple of years, you learn everything that's required about life. So, and to run a temple basically means to create an environment, an ashram. Ashrama means a place where spiritual practice is taking place. It's a sacred space. It's a protected environment. And you will protect that environment so people can do their spiritual practice in this ashrama. So that doesn't just mean a place that's warm and enclosed and locked up, but it means that it's a place where people feel welcome, where they feel comfortable, where they don't feel threatened or abused. That we create this environment where people feel, I am valued, I'm wanted. These people want me to be here. You'd be surprised. If you create that kind of environment, people will come in droves. They will come plentiful. You will not be able to keep your door closed. Just like if you have something good. If you have good food, or good music, or good association, good anything. People will come from far and wide just to get what you have. Like that. So Prabhupada, he traveled from Vrindavan all around the world to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. And he created these ashramas where people can get trained in the philosophy and practices of Krishna consciousness. But then when we're trained, we don't just stay in our comfortable, protected environment, but we go out and we share our knowledge and our realization and our taste. Whatever taste that we have, we share it with the people that we meet. And this gives us more taste, and more faith, and more realization about Krishna consciousness. So, we should not get too comfortable in our comfort zone. In fact, the goal is to be uncomfortable in comfort zone. And to venture out and become comfortable in an uncomfortable environment by preaching Krishna consciousness far and wide. When things become too cozy, we should become a little alert. Oh no, this is not good. Like the sadhus, they have a saying. When it's comfortable, watch out. Don't get too comfortable like that. That's why they live an austere lifestyle. Because they know that the goal is not to be comfortable. The goal is to serve the Lord. To remember the Lord. To spread His mission. So they keep themselves always a little uncomfortable, so they can be reminded of this fact. So in these areas, these parts of the world that we're living in here, besides the climate, things are pretty comfortable. Because people have exerted themselves to a maximum amount They have used all their intelligence and intellect to create a hugeball, a creative environment for sense enjoyment, for sense gratification. So as devotees, we should not become too comfortable and think, oh, this material world is a cozy place. Let me create my own little cave here where I can enjoy Krishna consciousness till the end of my existence. But let us go out, like Prabhupada did, venture out and bring the holy name to every town and village through Harinam Sankirtan book distribution and Prasad distribution. So this monthly Sankirtan festival is a very wonderful way of how to expand Krishna consciousness. Formerly people called it weekend warriors, but except the Vikings, most people don't like the term warrior so much. If you ask people, would you like to be a warrior? Would you like to go to war? Yes, because you have this Viking gene. It's still a little bit there. Yeah, let's go do it. But if you go up to people and you ask them, would you like to go to war? They say, maybe not today, maybe. You know, it's okay for you because, you know, I'm a liberal Dan, but I don't like to go to war today. But if you like that, ask them, would you like to come to a party? Huh? Ooh. Huh? Like I ask everybody, are you more a philosopher or more a spiritually inclined person? And sometimes they look at me like, huh? And then you ask them, would you like to come to a party? Ah, now you're talking my language. Ah, now you got it, what it's all about. So, the Sankirtan party of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is available for everybody. We're having the first party here at 4:30 in the morning. It's called the Mangal party. And then there's many parties throughout the day, many festivals where we chant and dance and get together in the joy of Krishna consciousness. So, Sankirtan party means that we're taking joy in spreading Krishna consciousness far and wide. So, people are slightly comfortable, and devotees are no exception, because things are pretty nice around here. You don't have to struggle for survival. Anybody here struggling for survival? Not really. I didn't see too many ladies with big baskets on their heads, you know, and kids in the back and in the front, you know, going to the market to sell their goods. People are fairly comfortable like that. But we, as aspiring spiritualists, we should not get too comfortable. We should realize that there's a lot of false hope. People are thinking everything will be nice. I will grow old and I will sit in my summer house drinking beer and talking nonsense, and this will be the perfection of existence. But we can see that this is not really what life is all about. This is not why we're here. We want to make a difference. We want to make a contribution to this world. So, if you want to make a contribution, you want to make a difference, you want to be part of the change, this is your chance. The Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a real revolutionary, a real heart-changing, transformational movement. Where you can make revolution every day. So, the warrior mentality is not popular everywhere, but the festival mentality is more popular. So in some places we call it monthly Sankirtan festival, or weekly festival, you can have a daily festival. The main idea is to get everybody out the door, onto the street, and to meet the people, and to give them, Hare Krishna, and to give them the chance to take up Krishna consciousness. In an environment that's non-threatening, just like to have, like yesterday we saw, we had a table there, there was prasadam, there was books, people were sitting down, so people were comfortable, so they didn't feel threatened. Sometimes somebody walks up to you in the street and says, hey, you, come here, talk to me. Take this book, listen to me, give me a donation. They feel like, whoa, slow down, you know, like, you know, this is too much. Don't be like in my face.